What's going on, nerds? This is the Pop Culture Mass, Movie Mass presentation of It Stinks. It's a movie review. And today, we're talking about some devil shit. I'm reviewing Late Night with the Devil. I did something recently that I don't do very often now that I have two kids and they're both 4 and 2 and shit. I got young kids. I don't get out very much. Have you guys tried, I don't know, maybe you're a parent. Have you tried paying a babysitter to like get out and go do something with your wife? It's fucking insane. These people want $18 an hour or some shit. Just because you got a CPR certification? Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, I'm your boy Jay. I'm the critical crackhead because drinking is for pussies. And I did something recently that I don't do very often. That is going to see a movie. I saw a movie. I went to see a movie in the theaters. It was awesome. It was Late Night with the Devil. And this is going to be a difficult review because I liked Late Night with the Devil very much, actually. I liked it a lot. Not just because it was the first time I've sat in a movie theater in 6 months or 7 months or 8 months or something. I don't know. It's been a long time. It's like September of last year. But this film really did work for me. I really was attracted to the aesthetic without knowing very much about it. I really dug that late 70s aesthetic that they kind of carved out for themselves, that sort of late night television of that era. My grandfather's big fan of Johnny Carson, and I've watched old like Johnny Carson interviews of like Dean Martin and shit with my grandpa. So there's like a little bit of nostalgia there for me too. There's a little bit of feelings in my heart. Like, you know, this is good shit. And so I was immediately, even before seeing the film, struck by the aesthetic and interested in the film. So when my brothers were like, hey, you want to go see a movie? I was like, absolutely, yes. And this is the one we're going to go fucking see if you want to keep your fucking teeth. It's just like when we were kids. But Late Night with the Devil really... at its heart, it's a film that ruminates on the kind of sacrifices that people make to be successful, right? Only there's like demons and shit in this one. It's not like a, you know, it's not like some Oscar bait bullshit. So there's sort of like an allegory. Like you think about, I mean, as a parent, I reflect on this stuff nowadays too. And those of you who are out there who are like a little older, maybe have families of your own, you might reflect on this. But like when you're working, you know, you're making money to provide for your family, but you're not there because you're at work, right? And I think about my dad a lot. When I was in high school, he traveled every single week. And so he was gone for 4 or 5 days a week, pretty much every single week for several years. And I know that weighed on him and we missed him, but it's like people will go and they'll sacrifice that time for their family in order to like climb this corporate ladder, make extra money. So like ostensibly you're doing that for your family. You're trying to provide for your family, but like you have to sort of abandon your family to make it happen. And so with Late Night with the Devil, it sort of explores the idea of sacrificing these things that are so valuable in order to achieve this sort of, you know, workplace kind of career success. But it explores it in a very literal sacrificial way. There's cults, there's fucking references to the Bohemian Grove, which as a conspiracy guy, that got me wet immediately. I was like, is this my vagina or the popcorn? Because this is working for me. Like, I don't know what's getting me so warm and moist down there. It's either the popcorn I'm holding in my lap or it's my juices flowing from my vagina. Anyway, I also thought the acting in this film was quite good. I think maybe not in like the Academy Award sense, you know what I mean? I don't think they're going to get nominated for anything, but I think everybody was quite effective in their roles. I don't think any of the roles were like really super deep, but they were effective for the type of entertainment that we were watching at the time. So like they were really well cast, I should say. Everything was really well cast. David Dastmalchian, I'm fucking that up. He was great as the main character, despite his last name sounding like an actual demon that the Nazis would have summoned or some shit. Dastmalchian! Dastmalachi! I don't know. I'm guessing I'm saying that right. I have no idea. But he played his role of Jack as like this very like outwardly affable guy, but like inwardly, maybe not quite as like happy and friendly, but still like a decent dude who might also have accidentally made a deal with Satan, or maybe knowingly made a deal with Satan. There's a little bit of a question around like what the deal was that he made. And his character was super interesting. Seems to have a conscience, seems to be a good guy, but at the same time, might have sacrificed his wife, probably almost certainly stabbed a 13-year-old girl on live television. But, you know, spoiler alert, you fuckers hopefully have seen this film by now. Speaking of the 13-year-old girl, that creepy-ass possessed girl, she was creepy as shit. If I was her dad, I would show this movie to all her boyfriends. Like, you don't try to touch my daughter's vagina, motherfucker. You're going to get vaporized by hellfire, little man. She gonna fucking melt your face like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Try to diddle my daughter. Diddy better not diddle my daughter. All things considered, though, I mean, I think, like, the cast is populated by actors that are not really strongly connected with other roles, and that's a great thing, too, that they're not people that are very well known from other shit. They weren't, like, on a television sitcom. Like, Everyone Loves Raymond. We're not bringing in fucking Ray Romano to have this role in this horror film where, you know, it plays off the strength of these people being maybe recognizable, especially David Dastmalchian with Dune and Dune 2. I mean, obviously he's got this history of roles, but even in those roles, it's like, huh, where do I recognize that guy from? Oh yeah, Dune, because he was bald and he looked fucking different and weird in the Dune film. But then, you know, so it's like a little bit of recognizability, but not enough that you're like, oh yeah, it's Brad Pitt doing a zombie movie or some shit. You know, so it was not ruined by, I think, the actors having big presences elsewhere and being very well known for other things. So again, well cast, effectively cast, right? They're doing their job, doing it well, I think. And this film, like a lot of films these days, it has some humor in it. But this film does a good job in balancing that humor out, in my opinion. All of the horror elements are played straight, right? So it's straight horror. The horror elements that are happening on screen are like serious, unlike something like Shaun of the Dead, where like there's horror stuff. You're like, yeah, there's zombies and stuff like that, but they're not, it's hard to take it seriously because the zombies, yeah, they're acting like zombies would, but it's still kind of silly the way the characters are acting and reacting and stuff and the way things happen in something like Shaun of the Dead. Whereas here, it's like there is some humor. It is a late night talk show after all, where all of the diegesis is occurring. But the humor, I think, is, you know, it's played throughout. But like there's some humorous moments near the beginning where this Christo guy is, maybe he's a fraud, maybe he's fraudulent, and they kind of punk him a little bit. And that's a little bit funny, but also it helps lead into like when the real shit starts happening. It's a good setup to get us kind of like lull us. And then when real shit starts happening, it's like, whoa, you know, this is for real. So I think the humor was, it's done in a context. It's situational. It's contextual. It's understandable within the context of the film. And again, you know, it's a late night, a variety show. So some of the humor is really just them trying to entertain the audience. And like, it's not always humorous for us. There is some humor in there though. The guy busting out the check right before the fucking demon girl like vaporizes his shit. Like that was probably the funniest thing. He's like, well, here, take the 100,000 if it means you're not going to melt me. Oh, wait, you're melting me. That worked out pretty well. And I think everybody got a chuckle out of that. But it wasn't the type of film where the comedy takes away from the more scary parts. A lot of times people bitch about the Marvel movies because it's like the humor shit takes away from the more serious aspects. And it's like, you know, you'll have a character sacrifice their life, and then like 10 minutes later in the movie, you're fucking cracking a joke, right? Like Black Widow's body's not even cold yet. Don't fucking crack a joke yet. It's weird that you're fucking joking around. Like you were just drying your eyes 2 seconds ago. Fucking tell a joke. So, you know, my favorite element, I alluded to this earlier. I think my favorite element of the movie is probably the kind of that late 70s aesthetic. You know, it looks like something that would have been playing on Halloween night in the movie Halloween, right? When that film occurred, the original Halloween from what is it, 78, 79. I mean, it looks like the type of thing that might have been on the television while the kids were like running around trying to hide from Michael Myers. So I really appreciated that aesthetic they conveyed. You know, really, I just thought it was, I don't know, not super unique, but I think pretty well done, pretty pervasive. They did a good job of making it feel very 70s throughout, which I think also helped because it dispenses with the modern day technology that you would otherwise have to kind of explain. People have cell phones, people are recording things, people are calling folks, etc. And in a horror film, obviously these things, you know, you have to explain like why people aren't using their phones to call for help and stuff like that. Setting it in 1977, really, you can jettison a lot of those concerns from the writing room. And you can almost see, like, if you know the history of the 1980s, the Satanic Panic began in 1980. You could almost view the events of this film as like kicking that off, right? And like really just scaring the shit out of America. And like, oh my gosh, don't fuck around with the satanic shit. Don't listen to the fucking black metal. Don't play fucking Dungeons and Dragons and stuff. And you could kind of see this, like, yeah, it's an alternate history in this film, but like you could see it really kind of kicking that off. And that was like a real life event. You know, go Google Satanic Panic if you think I just made that up because it rhymes. It's a thing. It started in 1980 and it pervaded the culture throughout that time. You know, like parents were afraid of their kids playing Dungeons and Dragons. It's wild how this shit changes these days. It's like, you know, I'm not worried about the Dungeons and Dragons kids fucking performing a black mass, you know? But back then they were. It was like the Dungeons and Dragons kids. They're going to fucking sacrifice a goat or some shit in between their fucking rolls of the dice. So the aesthetic, the 70s aesthetic really felt more like attention to detail than like marketing kitsch. You know, like sometimes you got these things as like Hot Tub Time Machine and they go back to the 80s and they're going to really like dial the 80s shit up to 11 and really put it on steroids. And yeah, it's a comedy movie, so you can kind of get away with it. But here, you know, it didn't feel like they were just trying to say like, hey, remember the late night talk shows of the 70s? And it's like it all really works pretty well together in the context of the film. So anyway, look, I'm going to try to stop sucking this film's dick. This is the It Stinks movie review. So I gotta lock this shit up. And I apologize for praising this movie so profusely. I gotta find some shit to complain about. There's always something to complain about, right? First of all, I can't say the name Dasmalkian. I'm very insecure about incorrectly pronouncing Dasmalkian. So I don't know why I keep repeating it. I keep saying Dasmalkian. Dasmalkian. Dasmalkian, Dasmalkian, Dasmalchian. Maybe the T is silent. Dasmalkian? Maybe. I don't know. The only time I felt okay about saying it actually was when I was pretending to say it like a Nazi, which probably says more about me than Late Night with the Devil, honestly. Also, as much as I really like this film, the name of the film actually sounds pretty cheesy. Late Night with the Devil. I mean, it is what it is. But it sounds like the name of a horror movie that you'd see like on The Simpsons or something. Like they're watching some horror movie and it's Late Night with the Devil. Dun, dun, dun. Like it sounds really very silly. And, you know, like if you just say it, like Late Night with the Devil, like when does scary stuff happen? Late at night, I guess, right? Like it wouldn't be the morning. Like people drink orange juice and eat Lucky Charms in the morning. That's not scary. Okay, so late night. Late night is when it takes place. Halloween, Freddy Krueger, all that shit takes place at night. It's got to be dark, late. No one's eating fucking Lucky Charms and drinking OJ. But, okay, so we've got our setting. We've got our place. But who's going to do all the horror shit? What's scary? What kind of person is scary? A serial killer? Yeah, like a crazed killer on the loose, like Michael Myers. That's scary, right? Because you don't know what the guy's thinking. He's silent, but he's also physically imposing. He'll creep up on you, and he'll nail you to the wall with a fucking knife. That's scary. It's like, yeah, okay. Slashers are scary, but, like, ultimately, they're mortal. Like, Michael Myers eventually came back as a 65-year-old geriatric man with rheumatoid arthritis who hadn't had an erection in, I don't know, years. Been a long time, right, since he's had an erection. So that's not, like, super scary. But, like, a ghost could be scary because, like, ghosts are incorporeal. There's nothing you can do. You can't, like, despite me being a grown adult man with, like, I'm physically capable. I learned martial arts. I can't fucking put up my fists and fight a ghost like Rocky or some shit. So what's even scarier than a ghost? The devil. I feel like it doesn't take you long to be like, okay, we're going to call it late night. Because that's scary, with the devil, because that's scary, right? Excellent. This is going to be a really scary movie. late at night with the devil. So, you know, that sounds kind of cheesy. Also, 4:3 aspect ratio. Come on. I mean, I know they're going for verisimilitude, but I don't know if I said that word right. I've been huffing glue. There you have it. You know, go see it. Go see Late Night with the Devil. I'll come right out and say that. I'm gay. Go see Late Night with the Devil. I'm coming out. And also, it stinks. And so do you, nerds. Just kidding. I love you.